بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. قال الله تعالى، this is the explanation of course of سورة ياسين. قال الله تعالى وسواء عليهم أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون. It is the same to them whether you warn them or you warn them not, they will not believe. They will not believe. So your warning, and that you warn them or that you don't warn them, is the same in terms of them believing. They will not believe. Your warning is your warning, or your no warning is the same. This is a matter which is witnessed. Those whom misguidance had been justly ordained upon them, you come to them and you advise them one time after the other, and you make matters clear to them and you warn them, but they only increase in misguidance and turning away, wal'iyadu billah, to the extent that some of them would mock at you. And so from this we conclude that the one who is warned and is not affected by the warning, then it is feared for him. Feared, as we have mentioned earlier also, that it may be that his heart had been sealed, and that he will never come to believe. The benefits of this verse: those who belied the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, they don't care, and their situations does not change whether you give them warning or you don't. And from this there is comfort to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, because he, alayhi salatu wasalam, used to get affected by their unbelief, refusing to believe. So Allah comforted him that those deserved the word of Allah upon them, the punishment, and that they will never believe whether you give them warning or you don't. And we know that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam used to feel uneasy, and in case rather people are not guided. And this is clear in Surah Ash-Shu'ara, in 26:3. قال الله تعالى لعلك باخع نفسك ألا يكون مؤمنين. It may be that you, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, are going to kill yourself with grief that they don't become believers. And this is a matter not left to you, the guidance of the hearts. From the benefits of this verse is that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to warn them, although he gave up on their guidance. And therefore we conclude from this that warning continues even if the person begins to give up. And this is one opinion, because from the people of knowledge there are those who say that if you give up, then don't warn. Based on the verse in the Noble Quran in Surah Al-A'la, verse 9, chapter 87, verse 9. فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى. Therefore, remind men in case the reminder profits them. So they concluded that if it doesn't profit them, then don't remind and don't warn. Other scholars said, rather you remind and you warn whether there will be benefit or profit or not. And they say that, in fact, there is a profit anyway, because the least is that people will benefit from the fact that you are making matters clear to people. Rather, like for example, you are making it clear that the action of such and such person is wrong. And also, it may be because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may guide him. And we know that there were people who were from leaders of kufr, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them and they became leaders in deen. Certainly there are those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear that they deserve the word of punishment upon them, and that their hearts are sealed because they turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these will not benefit from the warning, whether they warn them or not, as in this verse which we are explaining. So these are the ones who deserved the word of punishment, and therefore they will not believe. And from this we conclude that the matter is all in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. He is the one who guides whomever He wishes, and He misguides whomever He wishes. However, all of this is based upon hikmah, wisdom. So whoever Allah's hikmah necessitates that he or she will be guided, then Allah will guide him. Otherwise, he or she will not be guided. And this is, all of it is based upon the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah As-Saff, verse 62, chapter 62, verse 5. Or 61 verse 5. فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. So when they turned away, Allah turned their hearts away. Therefore here, them being deprived from guidance is due to them being the cause. Because they don't fit for the guidance. And Allah Azza wa Jal looks into the hearts of His slaves, and whomever He sees that his heart is suitable to guidance, Allah will guide him, otherwise he will not be guided. And from the benefits of this verse is that the misguided, and we seek refuge in Allah from this, upon whom misguidance had already been ordained in light of the explanation which we had given, will never see the truth, even though the truth is so clear. His sight will be covered and will not contemplate it even, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, verses 13 and 14, 83, 13 and 14, إذا تتلى عليه آياتنا قال أساطير الأولين كلا بل ران على قلوبهم ما كانوا يكسبون. When our verses are recited to him, he says, tales of the ancients, nay, but on their hearts is thereon the covering of sins and evil deeds which they used to earn. And the one whose mouth is sick, suffers from a disease, he will find the most palatable and most delicious water, he will find it bitter, because the place is not suitable, it's not fitting. This brings the conclusion on the benefits of this verse, then inshallah ta'ala we'll move to the next verse, verse number 11. قال الله تعالى إنما تنذر من اتبع الذكر وخشي الرحمن بالغيب فبشره بمغفرة وأجر كريم. You can only warn him who follows the reminder and fears the most beneficent Allah unseen. Bear you to such one the glad tidings of forgiveness and a generous reward in paradise. Here, as if he is saying, لا ينتفع بإنذارك, no one will profit from your warning except the one who follows the reminder, the Quran. What does it mean, follow? Two things are meant. Number one, تصديق الخبر, believing the news and believing in what it entails. This is number one. Second, امتثال الأمر واجتناب النهي, compliance with the command and abstention from the prohibited. This is the meaning of following the reminder, the Quran. Believing in all the news in it, complying with the commands and abstaining from the prohibitions. Anyone who disdains the command or indulges in the prohibited, then in this case he is not considered a follower of the reminder. And similarly, the one who does not believe in its news is not considered as well from the followers of the reminder. So the following of the reminder is established by following these two things. And the Quran is called al-dhikr, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Hijr, Surah 15, verse 9. Inna nahnu nazzalna al-dhikra وَإِنَّ لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Verily we, it is we who have sent down the dhikr, the Quran, and surely we will guard it from corruption. And the Quran is called al-dhikr because of the following. Number one, it's called al-dhikr, the reminder, because of the following. لِمَا فِيهِ مِنَ التَّذْكِيرِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ, because of the reminders and admonitions it has, it contains. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Qamar 54:17, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. And we have indeed made the Qur'an easy to understand and remember. Then is there any that will remember or receive admonition? Secondly, لِمَا فِيهِ مِن ذِكْرِ الْأَخْبَارِ الْمَاضِيَةِ وَقَصَصِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ الْغَابِرَةِ الْمُفِيدَ لِلْقَلْبِ, because of the news of the past and the narrations of the prophets that are beneficial to the heart, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Yusuf chapter 12 verse 111, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عبرة لأولي الألباب. In their stories there is a detailed explanation and a mercy for the عبرة and a guide. Surah Yusuf 111 indeed in their stories there is a lesson for men of understanding. Thirdly, because of the reminder concerning the conditions of the people on the day of resurrection, and that they will be divided into a group in paradise and a group in hell. وَلَيَّذُ بِاللَّهِ. Fourthly, because of the reminder about the Arabs and the lifting of their status, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Az-Zukhruf 43-44, وَإِنَّهُ لَذِكْرٌ لَكَ وَلِقَوْمِكَ وَسَوْفَ تُسْأَلُونَ. And verily this Quran is indeed a reminder for you and your people, and you will be questioned about it. There is no doubt that the Quran lifted the status of the Arabs and made them the nation, a reference nation for others. All the other nations were not guided except through the way of the Arabs. In this there is a lifting of their status. The Quran came in their language and it reached mankind through them. Fifthly, a reminder concerning the Sharia of Allah and His rulings, commands and prohibitions. So here there is a reminder about the nations before and people and their news in the future, and that's why the Quran is considered or called dhikr, reminder. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we have now five benefits as to why the Quran is called the reminder, al-dhikr. So please try to make record of them. قال الله عز وجل in this verse, وَخَشِيَ الرَّحْمَانَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Some interpret al-khashya that you can only warn him who follows the reminder and fears the most beneficent. As you can tell here, the translation of the meaning is in line with what some interpret the meaning of khashya as, fear. But this needs explanation, because khashya is not just mere fear. Rather, khashya is fear that is based upon knowledge concerning the one feared and his magnification and his greatness. This is the khashya. This is the aw. This is proven by the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Fatir 35:28. إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء. It is only those who have knowledge among his slaves that fear Allah. And fear only may exist without having magnification of what is feared, but rather to the weakness of the one who fears, not due to the greatness of the one feared. However, al-khashya, aw, can only be due to the magnificence and greatness of what is feared. Because if the greatness and magnificence of what is feared is known to the one who fears, then it will be magnified, and the one feared will be magnified by the one who fears. And therefore, as you can tell, there is difference between them. So explaining the khashya, the aw, by mere fear is incomplete. Rather, it is to be said that the correct interpretation and the meaning is that al-khashya'aw is the fear based upon knowledge concerning the greatness of the one feared. And therefore it arises due to the magnification of the one feared. On the other hand, fear it alone may arise due to that, and it also may arise due to the weakness of the one who fears. This is concerning the meaning of khashya and how it differs from fear. وَخَشِيَ الرَّحْمَانَ بِالْغَيْبِ الرَّحْمَان, the most beneficent. Choosing this name in this context of this verse without mentioning the title of magnificence Allah has a significance. Choosing the name Ar-Rahman instead of Allah in this context has a significance. This is because the one who has aw of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he fears him based upon knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforts the one who fears him and has aw that in fact he is fearing Ar-Rahman, the most beneficent, who bestows mercy. So the more you have awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the more of Allah's mercy will befall upon you. And this is because no one truly has awe of Allah except that he will carry on his commands and abstain from his prohibitions. And therefore in this way he will be subjected to the mercy of Allah. And this is the significance of mentioning the name Ar-Rahman instead of Lafzul Jalala, the title of magnificence Allah. And Allah the Most High knows best. The verse continues, you can only warn him who has aw, or the one who, you can only warn him who follows the reminder and has aw of the most beneficent, bil ghayb, unseen, and fears the best beneficent Allah unseen. Here we have also a clarification concerning the meaning. Some interpret this to mean that the person fears Allah, has awe of him, while Allah is unseen to him. So that's why you see here in the translation they put unseen. This is one angle to the meaning. The second angle means that he, the person, has aw when unseen from the people. Bil ghayb meaning unseen from the people. He fears Allah in his heart, meaning the one whom you remind and you admonish and benefits from your reminder and your admonition, the one who follows the reminder and has awe of Allah while unseen from the people. This is the true awe. Because having awe outwardly, openly, this may arise due to showing off to people. And there could be a type of shirk in this, because he makes it for others, poor people. However, if he fears Allah in a place where only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of him, then this is the one who truly has awe. Many are those, when they are with people, they refrain from sins. But when they are alone, they become negligent. So in this case, this person is fearing mankind, is fearing people, and is not fearing Allah Azza wa Jal and having out. Because the one who truly has out, عنده الخشية, it's inevitable that this becomes established in his heart. The magnificence of Allah becomes established in his heart, whether he is in the presence of people or away from them. Also, he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the unseen, meaning unseen to the sight, unheard by the ears. This is the awe of the heart, and this is greater than the awe of bodily parts. Because the one who has awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart observes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his rights, observes Allah and his rights upon him. So that's why we must observe the awe of the heart more than the awe of the bodily parts. Everyone can establish the awe of bodily parts even at his home. Every person can stand and pray, does not move, looks at the place of his prostration, raises his hands in places where the hands are to be raised, meaning establishes the salah uprightly, in the open, outwardly. However, the heart is absent. So that's why the khashya of the qalb, the awe of the heart, is the foundation. And this is the one which the person should give attention to and be keen as to establish it completely. This is the meaning of this verse, وَخَشِيَ الرَّحْمَانَ بِالْغَيْبِ. So the preponderating saying concerning this meaning is that it refers to the one who has aw, fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while absent from the creatures, and has awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and unseen by the eyes, unheard by the ears. This is the awe of the heart. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning the glad tidings to the one who establishes this awe, فَبَشِّرْهُ بِمَغْفِرَةٍ وَأَجْرٍ كَرِيمٍ. Bear you to such one the glad tidings of forgiveness and a generous reward. And this is the paradise, بِمَغْفِرَةِ الذُّنُوبِ, by forgiving sins and admittance to paradise. وَأَجْرٍ كَرِيمٍ, a reward for the good deeds. And the kareem, the generous, comprises كَرَمُ الذَّاتِ الْعَيْنِي. Karam with that, the generosity of his essence. And second, the generosity of his sifat, of his attributes. As in the saying, this, let's go back concerning this. This comprises karam with that, the generosity of the essence, and the generosity of attributes. Like the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he sent Mu'adh bin Jabal to Yemen. And when he commanded him to take the zakah from the people there, he admonished Mu'adh, إِيَّاكَ وَكَرَائِمُ أَمْوَالِهِمْ, avoid, don't take the best property of the people of zakah. As in Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 2, hadith 537. Meaning, avoid, don't take the best property of the people of zakah. Kara'im, meaning the best in essence and in attributes, in qualities. And concerning the reward in paradise, a generous reward, generous in essence. If we look to the bliss in paradise in essence, we'll find that it is generous and more and more and most generous and better and more beautiful and more beneficial than the bliss of this life. Therein are the fruits and the date palms and the honey and the khamr, the wine. If that is related to the bliss of this life, then we will find these things in essence more generous than the bliss in essence of what's in this life, is as well as in the quality, the taste, the smell and the like, also more generous. Also as well, more generous in recompense, because the reward 10-fold to 700-fold to many folds for one deed, for one good deed. And the return in this life is a proportional substitute only. You sell me a car for 10,000, I will give you 10,000 without any extra. However, in the life, in the next life, in the hereafter, it is more generous and greater. You exert one and you will be given 10 to 700 to many, many folds in return. So therefore, the generosity in the hereafter is from different angles, in essence, in quality, and in compensation. Far exceeds that of this life, the benefits of this verse. Number one, only those who are qualified by the two attributes of following the reminder and having awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only those who will benefit from the warning and from the reminder of the messenger. This is the first benefit. And we ask Allah the Most High to make us from them, from those who benefit from the reminder and who have awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the unseen. Second benefit, the more you follow the Quran, the more influence it will have upon you. And from this, we can understand the statement, and rather a foundation, which the ulama, or some of the ulama, had mentioned. الطاعة تجلب الطاعة والمعصية تجلب المعصية. Obedience leads to obedience and disobedience leads to disobedience. The more a person is following the Quran, then the more he will be affected by it. The third benefit, praising the glorious Quran, the great Quran, as a reminder. And we came to know the different angles of this meaning. Five reasons why it is considered as a reminder were explained earlier. And from the benefits is that having awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a great cause for the manifestation of influence, being influenced by the Quran. Fifth benefit, making clear the benefits of awe, and that it is from the reasons of benefiting from the Quran. The more the person has awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more he will be understanding of his words. And the next benefit, awe, true awe, can only be in the unseen. As to the awe in the openness, this is not genuine, because it may be that the person fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of people seeing him. But if it is the true awe, then it indicates sincerity. The next benefit, that you give glad tidings to those qualified with the two attributes, those who follow the reminder of the Quran and those who have awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the unseen, then give them glad tidings of paradise. Give them glad tidings of paradise. The question is, هل تنطبق هذه البشارة على كل واحد بعينه? Would this glad tiding be applicable on every individual in particular? The answer, no. Rather, it is in general. So, every person qualified by the attributes affirming the Jannah for him, then this is by way of generality. And thus we don't testify or be witness to him in particular to be in paradise. However, it is hoped for him to be. Because outwardly, the causes making him deserving paradise are applicable upon him outwardly. However, inwardly, we don't know. As the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ فِي مَا يَبْدُو لِلنَّاسِ وَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ وَلَيَذْ بِاللَّهِ. The person may act the actions of the people of paradise as it appears to people, while he is from the people of hell. We seek refuge in Allah. And that's why, and this hadith is in Sahih Muslim and Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. That's why we say, concerning everyone upon whom these qualities apply, that he deserves the entrance to admittance to paradise. We say we don't testify to, for him in particular, Because such a testimony requires a particular dalil, a particular evidence, a specific evidence for him. However, ولكننا نرجو له هذا. We hope for him this. Because outwardly, it seems deserving. But we don't testify because it is feared that his inward may be opposite to his outward. And this is a very important and beneficial foundation. For example, a person making jihad with an army. It's apparent that all the mujahideen are making jihad to have the word of Allah be established, the prevalent one. So if one of them is killed by the enemies, should we testify to him that he is a shaheed? Bear witness that he is a shaheed, a martyr. We don't bear witness that he is a shaheed. However, we say يُرْجَى أَنْ يَكُونَ شَهِيدًا. We hope, it is hoped that he will be a martyr, meaning من الشهداء عند الله عز وجل, one of the martyrs with Allah عز وجل. But we don't testify for him in particular. And that's why الإمام البخاري رحمه الله ترجم الإمام البخاري رحمه الله على هذه المسألة في الصحيح, قال باب لا يقال فلان شهيد. That's why Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah tabulated in a heading for his chapter entitled chapter لا يقال فلان شهيد. It's not to be said that such and such is a shaheed. However, the word shaheed nowadays is very cheap, exerted for the cheapest price. Anyone killed, even though may be killed in a way or by means of ignorance, resembling the ways of days of ignorance, it is said he is shaheed. And this is not permissible. أتدري ما يستلزم على شهادتك له بأنه شهيد. Do you know what your testimony for him that he is a shaheed, what does it entail? يستلزم بأنك شهدت له بأنه من أهل الجنة. It entails that you are testifying for him that he is from the dwellers of paradise. وهذه مسألة صعبة, and this is a difficult matter. But as we have said earlier concerning this beneficial matter, one upon whom these qualities apply, then we say it is hoped that he is from the people of paradise. But to be firm, no. أما أن نجزم فلا. To be firm, no. And in our times, they commit suicide in their offices, and then they will be declared shaheeds. So the one who follows the reminder and fears Allah and has awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most beneficent in the unseen, shall we then, or could we then, be certain that he is forgiven and will be rewarded the generous reward? We say yes. Whoever does this, we testify by way of generality, not by way of particularity. By way of particularity, it is hoped that he is. Next benefit. The glad tidings. The glad tidings takes place by removal of what is disliked and attainment of what is beloved. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, بِمَغْفِرَةٍ, forgiveness. This moves what is disliked. وَأَجْرٍ كَرِيمٍ and a generous reward, attainment of what is beloved. So the person will feel pleased by the removal of what lifted, of lifting what is disliked to him, and attaining of what is beloved to him. And from the benefits of this ayah al-kareemah, of this noble verse, that the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the unseen and following the reminder leads to the forgiveness of sins and to the noble and to the generous reward. Because maghfira, forgiveness in relation to sins, wa ajrin kareem and a generous reward, this is in relation to the reward for the righteous deeds. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who will receive the glad tidings of maghfira, of forgiveness and a generous reward. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.